course, it's true. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm going to deal with Solomon now. We want to continue our studies now in Mastering the English Bible, and we're moving through the kings, the studies on kings in the scriptures, and we have looked at David. God gives us more information about David, devotes more of the scriptures to David than any other of the kings by far, but we come to David's son Solomon. 1015 to 975 B.C. And it was David's son Solomon who established the kingdom. David set the stage, even Saul, but David set the stage and Solomon established it, and Solomon's kingdom was a peaceful kingdom. Solomon was anointed king while David was still alive, and that was done, as we've seen, because of the attempt of Adonijah to take the throne, and God thwarted that. And then during Solomon's days, the kingdom was enlarged to the fullest extent. The complete and Solomon ruled over all the territory that had been promised to Abraham in Genesis 15:18, all the way from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. Then we see Solomon's love for God at the beginning. Solomon had a great love for God. Solomon was loved of God. That's the name that God gave him, Jedidiah. But Solomon loved God when he was young. He got off track, as many have. But the Bible says that Solomon, 1 Kings 3:3, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. David had exhorted him face to face and publicly before all of Israel, and Solomon took that exhortation to heart in his youth. Loved the Lord. The only one of David's sons that we read that about, that he loved the Lord, that he loved David's God, walked in David's statutes. Doubtless he loved David's Psalms, Solomon. We see Solomon's wisdom, 1 Kings 4:29 through 31. Solomon's wisdom. 1 Kings 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. That's a lot of wisdom. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. He spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. It's amazing. The wisdom that God gave him. God is the source of all wisdom. No wisdom apart from God. And Solomon got his great wisdom in answer to prayer, this amazing prayer. When he was just a young king, one of the most amazing accounts in all of human history. 1 Kings 3, verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, as we've seen. The tabernacle was there, and the altar of sacrifice was there, even though the ark was in Jerusalem. For that was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Must have been something. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Almighty God, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Solomon's talking to God. "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made my servant, thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." Was he a little child? Not exactly. He's talking in terms of humility. He said, "I'm just a young man. I don't know what to do." That's exactly the opposite of the natural way of a young man, to think he knows everything. This is amazing. This is wisdom. "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered and accounted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" The speech pleased the Lord. And so we can please the Lord. It's amazing. But we can. And that pleased him, that Solomon had asked this thing. Of course, God knew what Solomon would ask. But God knew what Solomon would ask, but God also operates with, in time, obviously, reacts to us. It's amazing. God's very amazing. We can only know what we read in the Bible. And we don't have to figure it out. We just believe what he says. Speech pleased the Lord, Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." And now there's a warning. "And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. And so Solomon got this great wisdom in answer to that prayer as a young king. It happened in a dream, but it really happened. It was a real encounter between Solomon and God. The occasion was the great sacrifice at the tabernacle in Gibeon, just a few miles north of Jerusalem, as we've seen. A spectacular time. All the captains and judges and governors and chiefs were there, all across the nation, offering 1,000 burnt offerings, all pointing to Christ and the cross. And that dream. We see the greatness of Solomon's wisdom exceeded that of the wise men of the east country. That's the Chaldees, the famous Chaldees, Babylonians, famed for their wisdom, their great wisdom of mathematics and the stars, and Egypt, greater than the men of Egypt, and they were famed for their wise men, and greater than the Greeks and the Chinese. And Solomon had greater wisdom. He's not acclaimed in the secular textbooks, but he should be. He had a quickness of thought, a strength of memory, a clearness of judgment such as never any man had, Matthew Henry said. Obviously so. He could write thousands of compositions and remember them. Amazing memory. Adam had that capacity in his created perfection. He could name all the animals and remember them. He didn't have to ask Eve the next day, what did I name that creature? God didn't make man to be like that. God made man very special, very high. And we've fallen. We haven't evolved. We've fallen. We've devolved greatly. And once in a while, the genius of Adam will come out in someone, but just in some little area. Maybe he'll be able to play the piano like a fiend at age 5. And supernatural almost. But it's just the original genius coming down just a little bit, still there. Mostly we've lost that genius. But Solomon, all the wisdom. The fruit of it was that he wrote 3,000 Proverbs. That's a lot of Proverbs. And we have some of them in the Scripture. He wrote 1,005 songs. He was a songwriter. Like his father David, but mainly we have only one of those in the Bible, and that is Song of Solomon, which is a spectacular song. But he wrote 1,005 of them. He was a musical man. Obviously, he would have played instruments, learned that from David, grew up around that. Solomon's wisdom was evident in his knowledge of the creation. He had wisdom to understand things wherever he looked. The animals, the trees, the vegetation. And he understood. And his understanding, his genius, his wisdom was, a lot of it had to do with what he learned from creation about spiritual and moral issues. And we find that in Proverbs. Proverbs. It's the Hebrew language and the Hebrew mindset, and God teaches us that the creation is a revelation, and we are to learn about God. Everywhere we look, we should learn about God. And the Scriptures are full, especially the Old Testament, full of metaphors, which is lessons of the coming from creation. In Hosea alone, we find examples, the lion, the dove, the eagle, the wind, the grape, fig tree, bird, roots, fruit, empty vines, foam on the water. Foam on the water. Heifer. And Job's full of that. And Proverbs is full of that. Proverbs, of course, written by Solomon. Proverbs takes us to the roe, the ant, the swine, the bear, the lion, the horse, the serpent, the swallow, the ass, the dog, the bird, the sheep, the lamb, the goat, the horse leech, the raven, the eagle, the conie, the locust, the spider, the greyhound, magnificent dog, and the he-goat. And gives us lessons. And they're powerful, and they stay in the memory because they're associated with these creatures that we know about. Solomon's wisdom. It was practical. God's wisdom is always practical. Gets down to where we live. It's not just scholarly. Not just scholarly. It's practical. Teaches us how to live. How to live in our homes. How to live. And Solomon's wisdom was practical. And great example is given to us in the Scriptures here in 1 Kings. Chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. And these two harlots had babies. On the same night, they had babies. And the third night, one of them lay on one of the babies, and the baby died. And so that woman, that night, in the middle of the night, switched the baby. And she put the dead baby over with the other mother, and she took the living baby. And the next day, of course, the real mother knew right away, it's not my baby. And the other woman was adamant, no, it's your baby, your baby, your baby's dead. And so they went before Solomon. How are you going to tell? It's her word against her word. Nobody else was there, no other witnesses. And Solomon immediately knew how to solve the problem. He said, kill the baby, split it, divide it between these two women. And he knew that the real mother would be exposed there, and indeed worked perfectly. And the real mother said, oh no, don't kill it, it's all right, let her have it. And the mother of the dead one said, yeah, let's divide it. She's full of hate. No mother's heart there. Wisdom, practical wisdom, it's famous, that case, because it's in the Bible. And that's the wisdom that the governors will have and the judges will have in Christ's kingdom all over this world. Right here in Longview. No, we're not in Longview, are we? Well, we're close. Because I only recently learned how to say Klitschko. And there'll be governors across this part of the world. And they'll be righteous and godly. It'll be amazing. They'll be like Solomon. They'll have that kind of practical wisdom. Nobody will trick them. No tricky lawyers. No lies will get by them. Solomon's wisdom and resurrection glory. It is likely and probable and that every resurrected saint will have this kind of wisdom. 1 John 3:2, John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. The sons of God, that's no small thing. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, that's for sure. We don't look like much. And we aren't much, and we aren't even very smart, and can't remember what we did last week. No, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And there will be an increase, a dramatic increase in intelligence in the resurrection glory. We don't know how far, but a dramatic increase. Far beyond Adam. Solomon's wisdom is a picture of Christ. Christ himself said, a greater than Solomon's here. We read in Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yes, all wisdom. All wisdom dwells in Christ. And then Solomon's temple. The building of the temple. Building of the temple. We saw that David prepared most of it. But this is a major event in human history. That temple. The building of that temple. Major preparation for Christ. The fulfillment of Christ's eternal plan. The coming of Christ. The fulfillment of God's eternal plan. The coming of Christ. That temple, very, very special. 10 chapters of scripture dealing with David's preparations for that temple. We saw that in the studies on David. How did he made these preparations in his old age. And the people also gave willingly, abundantly. And they gave a magnificent amount of wealth in preparation for that temple. And it was built by Solomon after David died. David didn't get to see it. David was in glory. And then they had this tremendous dedication of the temple in 1004 BC. And this magnificent assembly was there. And the people attended from the Euphrates all the way from the south, from Egypt, from the river of Egypt, all over Israel, they came for this magnificent dedication ceremony. It was on the seventh month of the Feast Ethanim, or the Feast of Tabernacles. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. And they brought up the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle and the other vessels from from the City of David. The Tabernacle apparently had already been brought in for the occasion from Gibeon. Solomon knelt on his knees on a platform before the altar of sacrifice. Very significant. There's no other way to God except through Christ, through the blood of Christ, through those sacrifices. And he prayed that prayer of dedication on a platform that was built right there before the altar of sacrifice. Chronicles describes that platform that was built. And we will look at this in the pictorial studies. But then there was Solomon's navy. He joined hands with the Phoenicians. The great Phoenicians, who were the greatest merchant sailors of that time, sailed all the way around Africa, sailed all the way as far as England, at least that far. And Solomon was joined with the Phoenicians, and he had navies, as we will see. And Solomon's kingdom was a foreview of the millennial reign. These things we'll study in the pictorial studies. Solomon was a great writer. 3,000 Proverbs, 1,005 songs. And he wrote a large portion of our Bible, Solomon did. Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, most of the Proverbs. God chose Solomon to write a large portion of Scripture. Then we have in the Bible Solomon's visit by the Queen of Sheba. Magnificent thing. 2 chapters of the Bible devoted to that. And then Solomon's sin by multiplying wives. He learned that from David. David had shown that bad example to Solomon there. But Solomon took it to the most extreme, I think, that's ever been done in history. Multiplying of wives, concubines. And then Solomon's punishment. Some of the highlights of the studies on Solomon. Solomon's punishment. Because of his disobedience, the multiplying of wives, he committed idolatry. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, who loved the Lord as a young man so much that the only thing he wanted was wisdom to lead God's people, committed idolatry with foolish, filthy idols, such as Chemosh. It was great disobedience. And God raised up enemies against his kingdom. There was Hadad the Edomite. This is all in 1 Kings 11. There was Rezon of Damascus, the Syrian. There was Jeroboam, who eventually split the kingdom. But in Solomon's own lifetime, Jeroboam was a thorn in his kingdom. And God promised Jeroboam 10 tribes. And it's what happened. Solomon's punishment. And then Solomon's repentance. And these are things we're going to study in the pictorial studies, which is where we want to go to now. These are not fitting together exactly right on the time schedule, but that's all right. Huh? Did I not give them one? You don't have Solomon's? It's hard to show it if you don't have it here.
While we're waiting on that, let's turn to 483 in our songbook. Take a little detour here. 483, we'll sing the verses that we didn't sing before. Well, we'll sing the second verse and the last verse. We sang the last verse before, but we'll sing the second verse and the last verse again. 483. It tells me